Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali, your classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
Guys, I've survived.
You survived what?
I survived the iPhone 10 launch.
No one gives two shits about this.
Listen, it's a cool phone. All right.
Not really.
You haven't been able to shut up about this goddamn iPhone 10.
Not only has he not been able to shut up about his iPhone 10, but somehow every conversation has come back to it.
How? I didn't talk about it last week.
Every conversation.
How so?
Diz is talking about his damn iPhone.
It's a part of my life. When you talk about the Council of Shamshir and shit.
I've never even mentioned the Council of Shamshir. Those words have not passed through my lips.
Well, that's because you're secretive about the Council of Shamshir.
There's no Council of Shamshir.
There is a Council of Shamshir. I found it.
Literally made up.
It's not.
You just put council and the Arabic word for sword.
So what, man?
Together. That's all you did.
Sounds good, though.
It's literally
about it.
Maybe we should start a Council of Shamshir.
Let's
Who would
not.
Be in the Council of Shamshir?
Definitely not you.
Yeah, it's for sure. Ali is the founder.
Does that have to be living people?
Well, I'm communing with the dead now.
You're a necromancer. So that would work. Is that one of your characters in D&D? Were you a necromancer?
No, I was never a necromancer. But I did play necromancer in Diablo.
Ah, perfect.
Diablo 2.
With the vest.
Yes.
All right. If I had to guess one member of his Council of Shamshir, Salahuddin would be one.
Wow.
Right? Because he had a Shamshir. So that would work.
Well, because he had a sword, he's on the Council of Swords.
He has a council.
By that, it's not a council, it's just a fucking...
Genghis Khan would be in your council. No, he's a rapist. You don't like him. Ivan the Terrible. Or Ivan the Great. Vlad the Impaler.
He was Ivan the Terrible. No one called him Ivan the Great. That's Catherine the Great you're thinking of.
Oh.
Yeah, she fucked a horse.
Huh.
Rumor has it.
Vlad the Impaler.
Allegedly.
Sorry, I don't want to sully her good name.
You don't
want
to be sued by the estate of Catherine the Great.
Yeah, I know. She might slide in my DMs and talk shit.
Ivan the Impaler would be in it.
Yeah, this Council of Shamshir.
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad, why did I... Whatever, I said
you're really
first.
Floundering on this.
Not just floundering, but he's like... He's
you're supposed to help me. Who else is on this council?
You were the one that decided that you wanted to name the Council of Shamshir. I know better than that, right? You don't name...
What are you going to name it?
No, I don't bother naming the members of a secret council that's named after a sword.
So what would you name his organization?
No, I know his organization. I know the people he hangs out with.
What's his
organization? I'm not naming any names.
Can we just clarify? There is no organization.
What organization is this?
Yeah, no, I don't know what's going on here, but somehow I've been co-opted into this eyes wide shut thing.
You're in something, bro.
It's not like I don't have any
no,
sex.
No, you're not having sex in a cloak with a fucking plague mask on. I'm talking about.
Actually,
like...
that's more likely than the Council of Shamshir. Let's be real. Sex is an ordinary human activity.
I'm trying to make you look normal here.
Sex is an ordinary
if
activity.
Any of us
the Council of Shamshir sounds like something out of your ass.
You're in a secret society. Can you confirm or deny that?
I can't confirm or deny.
Yeah. Is that exotic birds guy in there?
Yeah. Is Omar's Exotic Birds one of your members in this?
That's the only way he stays afloat,
I can neither confirm nor deny. The network of Omar's Exotic Birds across the country.
It's under the toucan cage.
All two
knock.
Of them.
Yeah, you have to knock
Are you in
times.
The Shamshir Council? Is that what it's called? Maybe I was wrong by saying it the other way. The Shamshir Council.
You know... The sad reality is this, and this is the testament to what type of society we live in, is that someone is going to be listening to this and I guess going to be tripped out by Alex Jones, and he's going to genuinely believe that I have a hand in turning frogs gay or you know, organizing false flags, because your dumbass offhandedly says, I'm in the Council of Shamshir. Now I'm in some crazy white guy's crosshairs.
That's true. So now he thinks that somehow...
If I get shot in the middle of a lecture,
yeah,
it's on you.
Tariq Ramadan's in your group.
He thinks that someone's getting turned gay by Muslim pig magic or some fucked up stuff.
Wait, I thought we can't use pigs in anything.
Oh, for the love of God.
Is that a rule?
This conversation is getting dumber.
I don't know the rules of Islam.
Dumber.
Yeah. I thought there was an Islamic rule of three last week and you said I was wrong.
But this
is what happened when we let him take over the conversation.
This was a mistake. I should have never invited him on to the podcast. To be honest with you, I've been thinking about this for 3 years. After episode two, I've been like, damn, that was a mistake. How do I get out of this?
You're kind of screwed now. Oh, not really. It would just be you and V. Who else?
No, you could be replaced by a shaved monkey.
That's first of all.
A shaved monkey can do what you do.
That's first true, of all, yeah. I find
offensive. And you'd probably be more sober.
Yeah.
I'm offended by that.
Better looking, too.
You should get a nice hairy monkey in here if you want someone to replace me. Equal parts body hair. Ugh. So,
yeah. Anyways, in news of a similar stupid nature, because you've been an idiot this entire time.
I mean,
remind me of
the iPhone 10 launch.
What's Papa John's owner's name? John
Schneckel, Schnazel, Snazzle.
He's not actually Italian, isn't he?
No, he's just a dude with goofy hair.
Yeah, but he acts like he's Italian.
Yeah, of course. Well, he calls himself Papa John.
But he's like, he's actually from somewhere else. I don't know what he is.
From like Maine or something.
But he has like no like Italian connections as far as I know.
I don't know.
You were
John Schnatter.
Schnatter.
Yeah. Schnatter?
Schnatter's Schnatter. Not an Italian. That's Irish, I think.
S-C-H-N-A-T-T-E-R.
Yeah. Schnatter.
Yeah, I don't think that's Irish in any way, shape, or
form. Schnatter.
I'm going to look it up. I have to look it up now because I'm...
Yeah, you look that up. So...
Guessing Polish.
He's always been a douchebag.
Yeah.
But he's in the news again.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd he do?
So, his company is losing millions of dollars. So he blamed the NFL for his bottom line being down. He said...
Not just the NFL, like not just the NFL.
Yeah, but the players protesting.
Black people.
Yeah, basically. But he said it... He blamed black people without blaming black people. Saying black people,
yeah. The way white people normally do.
Basically. You know, he's indirect racist. Basically telling these guys that they shouldn't protest and that the NFL should have done something about it a year and a half ago. And that's why the ratings are down for the NFL. And because the ratings are down for the NFL, his pizza, like... stocks are down.
You know, that's another level of shit. I'm just going to put another level of bullshit.
And he told this to his stockholders.
The fact that he complained about the NFL, black people are making me lose money, that should tell you something. More importantly, though, does he not think it's possibly, maybe, mayhaps, perhaps, something to do with the fact that for years now, he's been a political douchebag.
He really has.
Like, if you think about it, what was the last time? When was the last time Papa John's was in the news?
ACA, I think.
There was that one time where they accidentally, where one of their employees tweeted
Iggy Azalea,
yeah. And they made a joke about it.
Oh no, they texted Iggy Azalea.
Texted, yeah.
And then
she called it out, and then Papa John's tried to make a joke about it, and she's like, "That's not funny."
Yeah.
What was the time before that?
Was that Papa John's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Papa John's.
Okay.
Then he complained about. The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, he also donated $1,000 to Trump.
He so said that we were headed to Nazi Germany. Under Obama. Yeah.
Incidentally, Schnatter is from the Deutschland.
There we go.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, yeah, that's definitely not Italian.
Yeah.
So Schnatter.
Maybe I'm no expert on branding. But maybe those are contributive reasons for why you're doing shit and losing money.
Also, yeah. You know, the pizza sucks.
Yeah. You don't like it?
I don't care for it. You know,
you know what I like about their pizza, though, is that they put the cheese on the top.
Yeah.
So it makes the cheeses a little bit better.
Everyone does that.
No, I don't. I think that the
toppings on the top.
Really, what? Papa John's, their crust, it's too bready.
It's too bready.
Tastes like bread. Right? The only thing they had going for them was that garlic butter. Okay. And all the other chains adopted the garlic butter.
Garlic butter was only good while it was melted. When it congealed, then it was like you could feel your arteries clogging.
But even then, you realize the only reason why it was there is because the damn crust was so dry.
The whole pizza's dry.
Pizza's very dry.
With Papa John's, all right? So Papa John's, their pizza sauce is the sweetest of all the pizza sauces, yeah. Right? So like that's, you got down from me. Right there. Right?
I don't mind sweet sauce, but it's got to be balanced.
Sweet. Yeah, it's too sweet.
Yeah, you got to have the acidity of the tomatoes.
Too sweet. And then the toppings just don't taste as good as like their chicken compared to Domino's and Pizza Hut's chicken is subpar. Their ground beef is also subpar.
The chicken, that's all the same thing.
I could taste the difference. I don't know about the pepperoni.
Dude, you're a smoker. You can't tell the difference between
leather
and fucking pizza.
Got the palate of a camel's backside. That's what Gordon Ramsay says.
It's false. I could taste the differences. I'm a fat boy at heart. I can't.
Yeah, you can taste the difference between that wild berry shit that you smoke and all the other weird pie shit that you put in your vape.
Yeah, I could tell the difference between those.
Yeah,
I think
chemicals.
It isn't good pizza. I'll give him that. But the other thing about Papa John's that I find utterly fascinating is that all pizza took a hit at one point.
True.
And what they did is they all came out and they're like, we're going to do something to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as much as I despise capitalism, at the very least,
you despise Marxism?
There is a...
That's a hell of a topping right there on your pizza, Marxism.
A side of Marxism.
God.
Not on top, just a side. Because I'm not a full-on communist, but a side of Marxism makes all pizza better.
What if they stuffed it in the crust?
Then it's good. That's proletariat pizza. So the thing that all the pizzas did is they went, how do we address this?
Uh-huh.
What did Domino's do? Domino's probably had one of the cleverest, as much as I hate like rebranding stuff, but they had one of the cleverest rebranding strategies. They came out and they did. They actually like exposed them. They were very vulnerable.
Like, we sucked.
We sucked. They even showed the test groups. Yeah. They were like, oh, the pizza wasn't good. The cheese didn't taste good. The crust was too dry. They even showed it.
Yeah.
They even showed it and they're like, we heard what you said. And we're going to change. And then they did. That's not to say Domino's is the best pizza in the world now. Yeah, Domino's is still shit.
Yeah.
But it's like leagues above what it used to be. Domino's now has like has that garlicky crust and that seasoning on it. The cheese is actually real cheese now.
True. Yeah.
Pizza Hut cornered the market on deals.
That's true.
Right? It came out with box deals and wing deals, all sorts of deals. What did Little Caesars do? Little Caesars cornered the market on the takeout.
Yeah, hot and ready.
Hot and ready. They did it. I mean, everyone went, okay, something went wrong. We're going to fix it. Papa John's did nothing.
Blamed it on black
people. Yeah, they did nothing and blamed it on black people. This goes right back to like, what, 2 weeks ago when I was talking about the oldest trick in the book?
Yeah.
Which is what, blaming black people?
Blaming people of color.
Oh, yeah.
Convincing white people that it's not your fault.
Yeah.
So here he is, the CEO of the company. He's not taking responsibility. He's not going, I'm going to fix this. He's like, it's not my fault. Blame the blacks.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, for people who sit there and they want to, you know, I guarantee you he went, you know, the reason why Kaepernick isn't getting on any teams is maybe it's because he's not good enough.
Right.
Right.
But then when it comes to his pizza, I've always been fascinated by the hypocrisy. Oh,
it's bullshit. It's complete and utter bullshit. And you know, Papa John's actually read today that, that they're down like 11%? Like the
year over year,
taking a huge. Yeah.
Well, his comments hurt him even more.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was already taking a hit before.
Yeah.
And then when he came out and he said this stupid thing, all of a sudden it was like, all right, well, fuck.
One of the NFL's biggest sponsors.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that also the NFL was down in ratings as well. But somehow he thinks that because someone decides to like do most people really at the end of the day? Diz decided to boycott the NFL. He lasted 1 week.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Like. He boycotted the NFL and lasted one fucking week.
He did. Yeah. It was a solid week. Week one. I didn't watch any football. It's good.
I think it's just completely passing the buck on your blame here.
Not
like,
only it was most completely missing the point.
Yeah.
He's not in the pull. Huh? He's starting to pull his sponsorship from the NFL.
Pull his fucking sponsorship.
Seriously.
Let your company go bankrupt. I could give two shits about it.
Also, despite the fact that, you know, the NFL may have low ratings right now, it's still a fucking media giant.
Let me just point out. Dear Papa John's, dear John Schnatter?
Schnatter.
Schnell.
Schnapper.
Schmee. Yeah. Listen, let me just tell you here. There was a time where we thought Blockbuster Video was a multi-billion dollar company that was going nowhere. It was a given in our life.
Yep.
A given.
Yeah.
Where is it today? The second biggest video rental place was Hollywood Video. We took it for granted in our lives.
Mm.
Video rental places.
Mm-hmm.
When new technology came out, DVDs, we went, they're just going to move over to DVDs. And they did.
Yeah.
Guess where they are today? Gone. You are not irreplaceable.
Yeah.
In the wide, wide world of pizza, we've got plenty of options.
Yeah.
So you can go fuck yourself.
Mm.
If you keep this up, you're going to go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
And we're okay with it.
Yeah, besides the people losing their jobs, but it's okay because his fucking drivers sued him. You know that, right?
Well, he's been... Every news has come out of Papa John's back. He's been accused of wage theft.
Yep.
He's been accused of cutting people's hours in order to avoid the Affordable Care Act. I mean, there is nothing that this guy hasn't done, and it hasn't been plastered all over the interwebs. And then he wonders why his stocks are down and why his profits don't look so good.
Better ingredients.
Papa John's. Better pizza.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here with your stupid...
You know, it's really funny that we were talking about this, because I actually read a couple days ago about the social media influencer named Jenny Niesgoda. She's got like, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of people following her on Instagram, because she does yoga poses in front of like ethnic communities and shit, right?
What the fuck?
And come on now, that's what most popular Instagram women do. They do yoga poses in front of weird places, and people love them for it.
White people need to stop.
She decided that she wanted to stop. So she actually started a Kickstarter where she wanted to open like a new aged fruiteria in one of the biggest Latin communities in San Diego.
Oh, I've heard about this.
A fruiteria? What's a fruiteria?
You know, like those guys, and they cut the fruit.
Oh, they cut. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she wanted to open this like this new one in Barrio Logan, I think, and it was like. The video that she put on Kickstarter was like the most offensive thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, this has been a trend, right? It's like the fruit, they've been trying to literally, I kid you not, they've been gentrifying the food carts and the fruiterias.
Yeah.
I saw them just recently at these like fairs and conventions. They're now official ones.
Yeah.
Run by these like hipsters who act like they invented.
They're the worst.
Putting.
I hate people.
You know, seasoning on a mango. And
I'm
like,
I'm sorry.
You've got to try this.
Yeah, put tahini on it.
You've got to be kidding me. I mean, I grew up as a kid in Vietnamese cuisine.
We dip
watermelon into chili and salt. It's something that we do, right? And we put guava in there and all this other stuff. It's also
All the people that I knew who were Vietnamese always ate their fruit, in particular watermelon, with either hot sauce or with salt and.
So me and my brother, we always put salt on our watermelon when we were growing up. I don't eat it like that anymore.
My grandma used to put salt on her oranges.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen this Kickstarter video before. It's so annoying because it's her talking about this business, how she wants to open. She goes, and then she literally has all the familiar accoutrements, right, of white colonialism, cultural colonialism.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all like this, like, you know, Barrio Logan is this new up and coming neighborhood that I want to bring fresh fruit and organic everything to. And then it's literally pictures of her laughing and smiling in front of like murals of Frida Kahlo and stuff, right?
And
it's her walking down like empty streets.
Make it stop.
I know.
Make it stop.
And it's her like holding a bowl. It's, oh yes, this new fruiteria is going to be all organic. It's going to be like the finest part of Mexican culture mixed in with a modern design. Like it was like this
whole thing.
And people went nuts over her, right? So she canceled the Kickstarter campaign. She paused it because people got upset. And then she literally took all of her social media on private because the people of Barrio Logan, and more specifically the Latinx community, got really upset because obviously the language of up-and-coming community means we're going to kick out everyone of color.
It's gentrification.
Right? Yeah. But the one that pissed them off is like not one Hispanic person in the video.
Shut up.
And it's just this white girl wearing dresses in front of like these like murals of like Latinx, like, you know, like legends, right? Like people who are cultural, you know, who are cultural revolutionaries.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, white hipsters, man. They're something else.
They're dangerous, dude.
They trip me the fuck out.
They take that shit without, I mean, they come from a position.
There's no such thing as cultural appropriation. It's just like us, like, diversifying.
Well, we love all cultures,
that
man.
That's the beauty of it, right? Because the second that hit, guess what they said? We're not trying to take on the culture. We're trying to appreciate the culture.
If you want to appreciate the culture, how about you go and you spend your money in one of those carts?
Yeah.
So we see them on campuses a lot too, because they tend to come onto college campuses. For example, the one at UC Santa Barbara is very famous.
Yeah.
Right? We wait for the guy, then the corn, right, with the cheese.
The elotes,
elotes, right. The elote man of Santa Barbara is famous for UC Santa Barbara. But we see them in a lot of college campuses, right, because or a lot of college events in particular.
Yeah.
But they're now really being pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're becoming a dying breed because now you have these new certified licensed carts who are bigger, have more money. And they come out there and they act like they've invented all
of this. Yeah, like the food. I mean, a lot of those food trucks now, right?
Yeah.
They add a load. Like a lot of like barbecue restaurants now all of a sudden are starting to do elotes themselves.
As much as I love food trucks, you've got to acknowledge that the food truck industry, as it's emerged, really takes out. What were the original food trucks of the 90s and the early
2000s? The carts in New York and shit.
The carts in New York, right? And even the food trucks that we had were run by who? immigrants. People of color, yeah. immigrants. It was a big immigrant, yeah. in yeah. particular, a big immigrant business. That's right?
how immigrants started you would making
business. If you came from the Middle East, you came from Africa, you came from
Latin America,
Latin America yeah. you would get a food either a food cart or a food truck.
Yeah. That's true.
That I mean, was what you would do.
Cheaper way of getting you the food you'd out there. Yeah,
go to a place where there's a lot of business, yeah. right? And in particular, more often than not, those food trucks served who? People white. Who were in the immigrant community themselves.
Also white people.
So they would, oh yeah, white people. But predominantly, they would go yeah. where? To a car wash, to places where yeah. there was, they would find a lot of undocumented workers or yeah. other workers who would then take their break, go out, and grab some food.
Yeah.
So there was this sustaining culture. But it was a market that people went, oh, we can do this, but we can gentrify it. Take the cuisine, the bourgeois cuisine, if you will,
yeah.
the bourgeois cuisine, and bring it into the food truck. So that you can get your gourmet bistro hamburger,
mm-hmm.
but from a food truck. And the result is that, yeah, the food is great, but who gets pushed to the side?
Yeah. Immigrants.
These immigrant communities and these immigrant workers. They end up taking the food. So I remember I went to this food truck, and I kid you not, dude was lily white. And he's making Cubanos.
What?
Yeah. Right?
It's true, yeah, yeah.
And this is, I mean, like, I get that he learned it, and yeah. maybe he was from Miami or whatever, right? Like he has some connection, but it was so jarring to me that just kind of went,
yeah.
Just this white guy selling this stuff, acting as if he invented this sandwich,
yeah,
and giving it to other white people.
I'm not
and
you're gonna just lie, go, to, what? To be completely honest with you, right? Food truck food is completely overrated. Just because they zhuzh it up with a little bit more kind of flair and shit.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking good. About. That macaroni and cheese grilled cheese is actually pretty good.
Oh, I mean, because there's thousands of food trucks, right? But most of the ones that I've been to have been completely overrated.
Yeah, pretty overrated.
Just because you fucking crush hot Cheetos into a grilled cheese sandwich doesn't make you a fucking culinary genius.
But that's what they think.
It's good, like, though.
It is good. But you've had the hot Cheetos and mac and cheese before, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yes.
Which is good.
This is, you know what it is too? It's like all this shit is like the stuff you did as a kid.
Exactly. You know,
and you went, this is genius.
Yeah, I know.
I'm now gonna sell it to people.
But it's, you know, I think it's a completely and this weird thing where it's like there's doing this big thing right now. I saw this in Houston yeah. and I saw this here. Where it's like this Asian fusion type stuff where they put kimchi on everything.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Kimchi fries, kimchi this and that.
Yeah, like bulgogi tacos.
You know what's like, what annoys me about that, though, about the kimchi bit? Is like when we were growing up,
mm-hmm.
white people fucking hated kimchi.
They really did.
They thought that was the grossest thing in the world. I remember I had friends who would bring kimchi, and white people would say, that's so gross. Now they fucking want to eat kimchi on everything.
I know.
That annoys me.
I like sriracha. I don't like kimchi.
That stuff annoys me. It's like yeah. the stuff that you made fun of people of color for when yeah. they were kids, when you do it. I mean, that is appropriation yeah. and privilege at its
finest. I appreciate that you brought up the whole Cubano thing because I actually read an article today, which is yeah. great. It was where they talked about, the guy talked about how Americans have this weird thing about travel where they wanted, they literally, the quote is, I want to go to Cuba before.
Yeah.
Right? And the idea being that they want to go, like they want to go to this like untouched land of Cuba
yeah.
that somehow hasn't been destroyed by like corporate entities like Coke or Burger King and stuff.
Man.
And the guy makes a really good argument. He goes, you know, that number one, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Because just because America couldn't go to Cuba doesn't mean the rest of the world doesn't go to Cuba yeah. also. And also the fact is by going to Cuba, you're actually destroying this like weird concept of a preserved culture that you so... You know, that you so desperately. So
it's always imagined,
to.
Right? The yeah. idea of an imagined. It's always this culture that it's preserved. The reality is that guess what? Those corporations have been there for a while,
exactly,
and yeah. they've been made into the culture. So when you go to Japanese McDonald's, mm-hmm. it's part of Japanese culture. It's going to have Japanese cuisine. It's going to have Japanese yeah. taste. That's part of it. But then we try to imagine this like, oh, before,
yeah, no.
right? We try to do this thing, and again, it becomes a sort of weird colonial exotification.
It really is.
We're just going to go and we're going to see the natives and what the native yeah. people do.
Well, it's annoying.
Do you people eat plantains?
Yeah. It kind of pisses me off because
exactly yeah. what I'm talking about. Yeah. You could even envision how yeah. she looks like. Yeah. In your head,
oh,
geez,
right? You actually had someone in mind.
Just close your eyes, and yeah. when I say that, what comes to your mind?
Oh,
it's just like a just an instant yeah. vision.
I see a 5'6".
I figured it's that blonde. Same dude trying to open that fruitery and say,
"Look at
that!"
Okay. I see a 5'6" blonde girl with blue eyes wearing a sundress.
See.
It's really funny because
that's all you have to do.
That picture of that girl from San Diego tried to open. She's literally. You look at all her pictures. She's always wearing like sundresses and shit.
See, I'm telling yeah. you.
She's got like one little braid.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Do you all have plantains?
It's those same guys. And this is, I, you know, I. What's crazy is that this is actually a field, especially like travel blogging, because I'm part of that. I'm part of that that space.
Your community. Yeah.
Right, where it's like this, privileged class really comes up, because if you look at like the top 50 or so travel blogs in the world,
Anthony Bourdain,
they're almost all exclusively white people.
Well, it's people who can afford to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's like one, like the top five is like this Filipino guy, right? But the one thing I noticed about it, these are also considered to be quote unquote, you know, liberal minded people, right? And I got to tell you, like, you know, this, we talk about white liberalism, right? Where it's like, yeah, technically, you know, they're all for certain social issues being put to light or, you know, being taken care of. But at the same time, you know, there is a certain level of privilege that they take advantage of. They don't realize that they have.
It's true.
You know, or that they're attempting to deny people. And I think that goes with also with kind of this, like, these Northern California Silicon Valley guys.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like, absolutely. Well, they're the big funders of this type of the food culture that we're talking about. Yeah. Massive function. They love that fucking gourmet food truck, food blog. But it's like
they don't want the pretension of going to a brick and mortar restaurant, right?
Yeah,
but those are those guys. Remember those guys that created that bodega program? Like, this was like a month or two ago.
God, I hated that but so much. But they did this.
Do you know what Bodega is?
Yeah. It's an app.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an app?
Or it was like
created an app called Bodega to literally replace bodegas.
Yeah, because bodegas are like the little shops in New York where you go and get like your sandwiches.
It's a white guy and this Indian guy from Silicon Valley. Uh-huh. And basically what they want to do is they want to set these like giant glass cases all over New York where if you had an app and like with a wallet on it, you can like scan it and you can, you know, it would just be around corners. You can grab whatever you wanted out of these. Yeah. Uh-huh. But then, you know, but then the people of New York, you know, were really, was like, you can't call it bodega. It's like the most socially, like, it's just like the most socially insensitive thing that you could possibly do.
It's not just socially insensitive. It's also like it's deliberately aimed at, they're talking about appreciating bodegas, right? Yeah. Because they have to, like, the convenience of the bodega. The whole point of the bodegas is that generally, New York is built as a series of buildings, right? And bodegas generally are at the bottom. So almost everyone has a bodega on their corner.
Yeah.
And the same, and Californians, we don't quite grasp this concept.
Liquor stores.
Because we have liquor stores, but liquor stores, you drive to the liquor store and whatnot. Yeah. But the reality is that liquor stores don't form, they're not as central to our culture as a bodega is. A bodega is literally on your way home. That's where you pick up your milk. Mm-hmm. That's where you pick up your pasta. That's where you pick up a sandwich if you're running late. They perform a massive, massive role. So they're like, oh, we love the function of it, so we're going to make it even better. No, what you're doing is you're trying to wipe them out. You're trying to eliminate the bodega is what you're doing,
basically.
Well, the backlash on that alone also. Now they're in a lot of... Because they posted the non-apology blog obligatory one, right? The, you know, we're sorry if we offended you, like blog post, but not that we're sorry that we did what we did, right?
Prick.
So it's like, this is like the Northern California mindset. Like,
it's tech bros, bro. Yeah, tech bros are the worst.
It's
I know a few tech bros.
Well, I mean, obviously we're in California, right? We run into them a lot. There's a lot of people, and they're kind of moving down this way anyway.
Oh, please
in
don't.
Orange County.
Punch you in the face.
But then we see that type of like cultural influence where it's like, I understand that it's not so much that they're trying to trample over a culture. I mean, I really do think they're trying to innovate. The problem is though, when you don't take into account, you know, the cultural implications or the impact that you make.
Mm-hmm.
This is why humanities are a thing in academia, right? It's like you're supposed to kind of understand that to the point where, you know, like the idea on paper may sound good, but there are effects to everything that you do.
Yeah, but you got to remember that greed surpasses all this shit for people. So for them, it's all about their bottom
line.
The
problem is business models, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because it's all about the bottom line.
View the world vis-a-vis the lens of business.
Yeah, but bottom lines mean more than human lives. That's all it is. So it means more than culture, means more than everything.
All right. Enough bashing white people destroying food. I wanted to talk about something that's been going on, but that we haven't got a chance to. So in our nerd news segment, let's talk a little bit about Stranger Things. Because everybody has been ranting and raving about it, and it's out. So we had our white news of the day, we'll call it. Shit white people do.
Yeah, shit white people do.
And then we're going to do white people bullshit. Now we're going to go to nerd news. I actually have never seen an episode of Stranger Things.
Me neither.
You guys are missing out.
But people keep telling me that I need to watch it.
I love Stranger Things.
It comes out of that moment where all of a sudden everyone was doing this like nostalgic 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like there was like a whole spat of movies like that. There was a Steven Spielberg's, 8 millimeter or whatever, 28 millimeter or whatever it is.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about? Nope. Steven Spielberg movie with the kids, and they like film some type of thing, and it's like a government thing on a train. Idea what the fuck you're talking about? No,
I feel like
you're 8mm was a Nicolas Cage movie about a snuff film.
Oh shit!
Yeah, you're just making shit up.
You continue. Movie. I'm gonna go look this up.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I mean, there's the whole thing with like retro music and shit, and people like dressing up like.
Retro. It's not just retro music, but it's even Guardians of the Galaxy has a retro feel to it.
Yeah, because they're playing retro music.
But it's not just the music.
It's got a modern. The thing about Stranger Things is the way that they created it. If you actually look at even the title screen, has that like that kind of lower quality fuzz, right? Where it's like where you got an old show, so it doesn't do like that like hard HD camera type stuff, or like does like the heavy graphics for like the title screen. But also they do a lot of throwbacks to kind of like the parts of 80s thriller horrors that people can recognize, right?
So like you know, like Freddy Krueger,
the parents don't know what the fuck is going on despite the fact that they're there all the time. the kids are, you know, they're all kind of gathering together to kind of fight this like this one big supernatural entity. It's them trying to find out what's going on as things are happening, right? The music even, you know.
I mean, I've heard really good things and I've been told that I need to watch it, but I've never watched it.
It's really great. I'm only halfway through season 2 right now. I wanted to binge it, but I just didn't have the time. But the second season, I think, takes a little bit of a darker tone than the first season does. And I think part of the reason is because the first season, you don't really know what's going on until everything reveals itself. The second season, you kind of
Super 8.
Super 8.
Which one is that?
It's a Spielberg movie. It's a recent one. Yeah. Fairly recent.
It's a group, 1979, a group of friends witness a train crash and investigate, and they like use their camera. That's why I thought it was 8mm.
Yeah, and the kid on the bike with the alien and shit.
That would not be it.
I know that one. I know the kid on the bike.
But that movie is in it. Super 8 is another example of this. And there's a bunch of them that came out during that time.
Yeah. And I think what's great about this is, number one, they took the Game of Thrones formula of hiring really talented actors.
Okay.
Ones that you can really kind of, you can actually have emotional connection to.
Winona Ryder is in it,
right? Yeah, Winona Ryder's in there.
She's made her comeback on
that. Yeah, and then, I mean, Sean Astin is in the second. You know, Samwise Gamgee's in the second season.
He's Rudy. The MVP
Rudy.
Of Lord of the Rings. Samwise Gamgee. He fuck Frodo. I said this time and time again. Fuck Frodo. Samwise Gamgee was
the You real remind guy. Me of Frodo.
Well, fuck me then, bro.
That is true, yeah.
Kind of useless. You're weak. You're whiny.
He's the worst. The worst character in that.
Yeah, Frodo walks, though.
Fuck Frodo. That's true.
Yeah. So... really, like Millie Bobby Brown, right? The girl who plays L11.
Yeah,
you know, she's become kind of this breakout star because she has some pretty crazy, you know, her roles.
The Halloween costumes of people dressing up like her.
I know, yeah.
God, they were good.
I gotta tell you, no, in terms of cosplay, yeah. I see so many 11 cosplays because
she has an obsession with some
Eggo waffles.
Eggo waffles.
She loves Eggo.
Oh, that's the Eggo waffle chick.
Yeah. Didn't you see that one guy? He was like big black dude.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
I loved it, but someone's like, "You're doing great, honey. Yeah. Keep it up."
I think because she's one of the only characters in there that you can cosplay that's like, you know, distinctive. Because all the other kids are just kids that are dressed.
She wears a dress. Games. She's got Eggos.
Exactly. Got shaved head. She's kind of dirty and stuff, right? Because she's been running in the forest.
Somebody
and
with
shit.
Lights or something.
Somebody with lights.
Somebody with lights what? On them. I don't know, man. Someone dressed as something with lights last year.
You mean the Christmas lights?
Yeah.
That's because it's Winona Ryder's character. She's trying to talk to her son, who's on another, who's like in another world, like another dimension called the Upside Down. And he's communicating with her. She draws letters onto the wall and she puts Christmas lights up and she tells him to try to communicate the message by clicking the letters.
Isn't there somebody with a hat, like a red hat?
There's somebody with a hat?
With a red hat. There's like a kid with a red hat.
Isn't there somebody with a hat?
Yeah, man. There's like a little kid with a red hat, a little white kid.
There's this character with shoes that's amazing.
Listen, man, he's famous for wearing a red hat. That's what I...
You know what it is about Stranger Things is it's meant to be... From what I understand, it's meant to be a real Americana horror, sci-fi, goth.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's rooted in that kind of American culture, right? And it's why people are so drawn to it. From the 80s music to the 80s style to the way that people dress to the references that it makes. So there's, like, a weird nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah.
That plays into that.
Definitely. I think they play on a lot of those familiar aspects. So there's aspects that, like... I think people remember watching movies like Friday the 13th and Jason and and Nightmare on Elm Street, and it's not gory and it's not like horror like that, yeah. but it plays on a lot of those elements and those just like those pieces that bring you kind of back to that part of yeah. your life, right?
On the speaking of the kind of 80s thing, there's a movie that's coming out that's also trying to do that. My Friend Dahmer. It's based off yeah. of the story.
It's the graphic novel.
Yeah, the graphic novel.
Yeah.
But I'm not so comfortable with the movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There seems to be an attempt to humanize Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah, Jeffrey yeah. Dahmer.
Who? Right. What other Dahmer would we be talking
about? I don't know, man. I was confused.
Yeah, the way they make it seem is like, oh, he's just kind of a misguided
yeah, no, loner. Yeah.
Well, because he's white.
And I went, you know, maybe humanizing a cannibalistic, sadistic, serial murderer, rapist is yeah. not the way to
he
go.
Also, he also tried to make sex slaves by putting acid in people's
yeah.
brains.
Yeah. So he drilled holes and put acid yeah. in their brains.
Incidentally, you know.
To make them pliable.
Yeah, at the
time. It didn't work.
Yeah. At the time, he was living in a predominantly black apartment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and he was stealing like Filipino okay. boys.
Yeah, in right? fact, at one point, one of his victims had run away.
Yeah,
and the police he caught him. And they brought him back. They literally brought him back to him because he's like, oh, that's just my boyfriend.
Yeah,
never mind that he was 15 for yeah, the record. Yeah. Yeah. Dahmer was way over. I think he was 20 or something, right?
Yeah, he was older.
He was older, whereas this kid was like 15 years old because he preferred. Younger, though he slept with some older gentlemen.
Yo, not older, but Hawkeye played Dahmer in a movie once?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't think so.
I was sworn it was him.
But anyways, the point is that the police bring him back, and because he's this white guy.
Yeah,
I'm saying. He's like, oh, this is my boyfriend. We got in a fight. He's drunk.
And he's drunk, yeah.
They just literally handed him back.
This dude's just murderer. Like, he's all fucked up, and he's like unconscious. And he's like literally like dazed, and he's naked. Yeah. He's like a naked Filipino kid walking around in the street, and the police is kind of bringing him back to Dahmer.
Yeah, he got caught. He nearly got caught several times, but he got away yeah. with it. Like,
you know what it is? Because he lived in a black apartment, number yeah. one, right? So the cops didn't bother going there.
Yeah.
Also, you know, really, when things began to really kind of closing on him is when he took a white kid.
Yeah.
And you
it was
know,
over the at one point it was because he had tried to cuff one of his victims and the victim escaped and they yeah. brought in the cops and then they're like, okay, well you need to uncuff him. And Dahmer just what was weird is like I don't think he was afraid of getting caught.
Yeah.
Because he opened up his house and let them in even when he had like people in like bodies in vats and yeah.
He had him in his refrigerator. Yeah,
he opened his drawer to uncuff the guy because the cop's like, you need to uncuff him. And the drawer that he opens up where he put the keys is like where he kept all his photos with like he's posing with the dead bodies. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's like that guy making him playing the nostalgia factor to him.
I know, it's no
maybe
good.
Maybe not the great it's way no to good. Go around.
There is also, I mean, for anyone who's into kind of Steam games or indie games, there's a great game called Hotline Miami. I did a cosplay for a couple years
yep.
ago. But that has this like really great 80s throwback. It's like it doesn't take much in terms of performance on your computer because it's yeah. like really pixelated. But it's got that like the soundtrack and even the style and everything is all very much nostalgic of that time. So if you're into kind of playing some indie games, Hotline Miami is a really cool one for you to check out. And if you like Stranger Things, you know, the soundtrack goes along kind of the same lines.
Yeah, that's breaking things. I'm sorry.
And I was right. Jeremy Renner did play Jeffrey Dahmer in the movie Dahmer that was made in 2002. But
I didn't even know he was an actor until...
Yeah, Hawkeye?
Until Thor. It was the first time...
Yeah. No, he was in The Town and stuff. He was.
I didn't think town. He was... I thought he... Wasn't he, yeah. wasn't he a makeup artist before that or some shit?
No, he was... I don't know.
He was a makeup artist.
He was in SWAT. You not remember SWAT?
Nope. But he was a makeup artist.
Colin Farrell?
His start was a makeup artist.
He was a bad guy. Yeah, he was a makeup artist.
Some bullshit like
he was
that.
A bad guy in SWAT.
I didn't watch SWAT.
What I find fascinating about Stranger Things... I haven't actually watched it. But what I am fascinated about is the nature of streaming. So the way that streaming has really shaped the content. So like one of the things about Stranger Things is that, and streaming in particular, right, is that it's sort of democratized celebrity culture. By not in which I'm saying any one of us can become celebrities, but in the sense that there used to be a time where celebrity culture was highly hierarchical. You had movie stars at the top.
Yes.
Television stars afterwards. Theater, who were considered real actors, but down at the bottom because of their fame. Now, and then for a while, you started to see people coming onto streaming, but thanks to, I think, House of Cards and other streaming, you have this fascinating moment where you have really seasoned actors
mm-hmm.
joining this really untested medium, streaming.
Yeah.
While at the same time, streaming gives an opportunity for complete no-names to become like, so the Stranger Things cast is mixed with like these great actors and these kids that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it puts the two together.
Well, I mean, but look at like Orange is the New Black.
No, that's another example.
Right? Like, who is the biggest name on that? Laura Prepon from right. that 70s show?
Or House of Cards. You have the alleged sexual assaulter, Kevin Spacey.
Well, they canceled that show.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You have him, but you have a bunch of other actors, too. So, like, if someone like Kevin Spacey is doing the medium of streaming, yeah. that lends credence to streaming as an industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I think, starts to change the way we view media in general. So, like, now you have DC and Marvel who are
trying to get in
totally thing. Trying to create their own streaming services. Yeah. I mean, streaming killed,
like,
Blockbuster and Hollywood Video.
Well, the thing is, not only that, but it was the rental, like, so yeah. going into Redbox. Redbox killed it. Yeah. Netflix just delivering like DVDs instead of having to go. But
streaming is Netflix.
Well, yeah, you.
Just know, we've gone over this.
Still hate it.
I know.
Still upset that they switched it.
I saw a Netflix envelope in your room once, but it was inside of a pentagram, and there was a goat's head on top of it.
I cannot confirm nor deny if this happened.
No, I mean. It has changed the way we watch TV, right? So, like, for me, like, I'll just binge watch, right? Like, so when Orange is the New Black comes out, when a new season comes out, I will literally binge watch that whole weekend.
Now, while binge watching isn't a new concept, we've had it in the past. They generally were associated with what?
DVDs.
Mm-mm.
No?
Marathons.
Yeah. Yeah. Or when you were sick.
Yeah.
Right? You were sick, you would watch reruns.
Yeah.
And marathons of something. But now binge watching is seen as a cultural experience. Everyone binge watches,
mm-hmm.
right? You binge watch and then you talk about how you binge watched.
Yeah. Well, T-Mobile actually has the program Binge On. Right. Like you can it doesn't take data to watch Netflix or something like that.
Or you talk about it like, oh shit, I was supposed to do homework. So binge watching has become a cultural phenomenon where it used to be a really kind of off marginal thing that happened every once in a while. It's become central. Because of the way the medium works, right? It's easy to click.
Yeah,
it's on demand. It's what I call the Wikipedia effect, right? The Wikipedia effect is like you start on one Wikipedia article, and before long, you're looking up anal slugs or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I ended up here, but I'm now fascinated by this creature.
How did you end up on anal slugs?
I don't know. I think I started off by looking up Dizbala. It just spiraled out of control.
There. Makes sense.
It's true, yeah. It was only three clicks away.
Actually, the first link.
It was a hyperlink.
The first link. But the other thing that I think we need to note is that streaming also changes the content itself. So the content is created in a way that's deliberate, that deliberately feeds into binge watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's made not just to be addictive, but the story arc is done in such a way that there isn't a reasonable place for you to end.
Yeah.
You go,
if you ever noticed the way the story arc.
It's hardcore cliffhangers every single episode, yeah.
Fuck, I gotta find out what happened to Frank. Yeah. I gotta find out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there isn't, it's not the same way with TVs or movies, which will also have cliffhangers, but they have natural conclusions.
Yeah, at the end of episodes.
Whereas you don't, that's not to say there is no conclusions, but the conclusions are softer and more subtle in streaming services because they want you to keep clicking. We see an older evidence of this is TV, right? So TV scripts are written with commercials in mind.
Yeah.
You're very conscious of this if you go to Great Britain. If you watch British TV or you watch BBC America, you'll note that they don't think about commercials when they write. They just write a story, and then commercials are just kind of thrown in awkwardly. Yeah, they do that weird
fade-out thing.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
Yeah.
Whereas with American TV, there's very clear pauses. You can see that the story goes, this is where we'll stop for commercial break. This is where we'll think about it.
I am, as you know, an avid wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I could tell you when there's going to be a commercial break, right? Because you know, all right, at this point, you're going to throw your opponent over the ring and then you're going to do a dive. And then everyone's gonna be like, oh, what's going to happen next?
Right.
Commercial break. Like, you know, like you can just tell.
Same thing with TV shows. You know when it's coming up.
Yeah. Because a lot of times they do that. They do the outro music or the music kind of to ease you out, and then it kind of comes back in again. I think one thing that I noticed since I went over to streaming to Netflix is how shafted we really were with regular TV.
Sorry.
Breaking shit too. Jeez. Yeah,
my phone fell out of my pocket.
So, I mean, really, it was a 30-minute show with a 22-minute format.
Yeah.
Right, and they would sometimes cut like the theme or something to get a little bit more time. Now we watch shows on Netflix, you're going, geez, like there was really not a lot of substance in the regular shows that they just kind of added, this, and then they made a whole season.
This out. Is also this is goes back to my theme,
Marxism
from last week about industry driving.
Oh my god.
The creative process, because what ends up happening, the positive effect is you end up with bigger budgets.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Because you're starting to, you know, bring on big names, because you're able to draw people in for longer periods of time. You're no longer putting 20-minute shows, and some of them are still 20 minutes, but hour shows are more common, right?
Yeah. I mean, Stranger Things are like 55 minutes long.
You get these longer shows. The budget's bigger. Mm-hmm. So what you end up with is mini movies.
Yeah. Have you seen Narcos?
A great example of this is Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes Sherlock from BBC is basically mini movies.
Yeah. They are. Every episode is an hour and a half long.
Right.
Right.
This changes dramatically the industry of watching things at home, whether it's TV or it's streaming.
Uh-huh.
Game of Thrones did the same thing with TV. Yeah. Right. Game of Thrones is one of the first TV specials, if you will, or TV series that has big budget,
huge budget,
movie budget, budget, right?
Maybe and even bigger,
and you can see it in what's happening. But the question then becomes: if the stories are shaped by the industry, by the material interests of profit,
mm-hmm.
and clicks, and ratings. So far, we've had really great series come out. What will be the unintended consequence? So if the positive consequence is big budgets, what is the negative consequence of it, right? What happens to the type of stories that are told when what their main focus is, how do I get this dumbass to binge watch for the next 12 hours?
Yeah, yeah, that's right? true.
What type of sensationalist, tripe, crap story arcs that rely on cliches, that rely on cheap thrills rather than substantive character development, do you end up getting?
Yeah.
Right? So this is where I'm always conscious of the fact when industry, when the market starts to drive things. I personally believe, and this is just me, and I'm not being critical of streaming in any way, shape, or form, but that there is a direct link between Stranger Things and Donald Trump.
God damn it. God, you son of a bitch. You always do this. You always take things and ruin them. Why? Why is there a link to fucking Stranger Things and Donald
Trump? I think...
You had to ask him, didn't you?
I believe...
Yeah, I need to know.
According to the Marxist principle... The Marxist principle
fuck you, Carl.
Of the opium of the masses, which is then reinterpreted vis-a-vis culture industry. That's Theodore Adorno and Horkheimer out of the Frankfurt School. That what the opium of the masses is, isn't religion. That may have been true in the pre-modern world, that religion acted as a sort of bomb.
Now it's modernity.
That it instead now is media.
You
sit there and you binge watch Stranger Things, but you don't have the attention span to read a CNN article.
Kyle, when you said watch Stranger Things, you looked at me, and then when you said you couldn't finish a CNN article, you wouldn't move to
look because this. I know who my audience is.
Listen, man, fuck you. I read articles sometimes.
You can't finish them.
Yeah, I can.
You lose.
I can't read your articles because they're boring, but I can read CNN ones.
Now I know you're lying.
Yeah, fuck your article.
Now
bro.
I know you're lying. My article.
You're no Don Lemon.
My article. Yeah, I did. I most certainly am not. Thank you very much.
You ain't no Rachel Maddow.
I take offense to that.
Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
Listen. First, I know you're lying because my articles are actually fantastically interesting. But more importantly, I think that there is... I'm onto something here. I think what's happening is that the industry of culture is producing more and more opium. Just funneling it right into your prostate.
What?
Right? Just right up there.
Right in the butt.
Right into the butt. And it's causing you to be incapable, uninformed, uninterested, apathetic, in fact, with emphasis on the pathetic bit, when it comes to things that truly matter.
Opioid crisis.
Listen, the thing is you literally will blame anything to the rise of Donald Trump.
In my defense.
Grilled cheese with turkey inside is related to Donald Trump. To
absolutely. You. It is.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
It's the rise of white bourgeois culture. Who's putting who's got the time to be getting turkey, fancy ass meat, to put it on a simple proletariat grilled cheese sandwich? Is the sandwich of a worker.
Yeah, and turkey is also the representation of white colonialism against native populations.
It's a direct in fact, there's a clear connection between turkey grilled cheese sandwiches and that turkey neck piece of shit that is our president.
Hot Cheetos and Donald Trump, there's a correlation.
Hot Cheetos.
It's called gentrification.
Yeah. Hot Cheetos, actually, there's a paper a long time ago that actually talked about how now with Hispanic communities, Hot Cheetos are creating a myriad of health problems. And there's actually a colloquial term in medical circles called red finger syndrome, which means...
What are you talking... V, stop making shit up.
No, I'm not. I told there's an actual food article about
this. Welcome, comrade V. Yeah.
God damn it. He's Vietnamese.
We have cake.
You know what's funny about that is I actually read the whole article.
Is it related to food?
Look, I'm just saying...
I read wrestling articles.
You can't disprove anything I've said.
And that's not saying much.
You can't disprove.
I could find people to disprove you.
No, you can't.
They can. It's like, what else, you
think the UC system couldn't find anyone, so somehow you can?
I can.
I am undefeated.
Just wait.
I am undefeated.
I will find someone.
Look, you know why I'm undefeated? It's not because I think I'm always right. It's because I am righteous in my defense of the worker. I am righteous in my defense of the proletariat. And you, who are so desperate to side with the bourgeois, watching streaming services, wrestling, putting fucking turkey on your macaroni and grilled cheese sandwiches.
I don't put turkey in my grilled
cheese. You are so desperate to become part of bourgeois culture. That's hegemony. You've absorbed bourgeois culture and assumed it's your own.
I thought it was a Capricorn.
I don't binge watch Stranger Things.
You binge watch something.
Yeah, Orange is the New Black.
See? Even worse.
Why?
You were sitting there and you were enjoying the pornographic representation of women of color in the prison industrial complex.
Damn.
No, but it's a good show.
I'm telling you, that's what you're doing.
Did you notice that his response to you saying that was no and then smiling?
Because he knows I'm right.
You're a liar.
I'm right.
It's not.
You're the devil.
You're using fancy words.
This is why I've been called the devil. It's because I speak the truth.
You're using fancy words to make it look
bad. I like the devil. My greatest weapon is the truth.
V binge watches Seinfeld on Hulu.
I watched 3 episodes of Seinfeld.
It still counts. And he watches other things.
I watch Boy Meets World.
Why are you tattling? Why are you tattling on him?
Because if I'm going to go down, I'm taking you with me, you son of a bitch.
I watch Stranger Things, not other things.
Yeah, he watches Stranger Things. He binge watches
I actually don't. I'm only halfway through this. It's been out for like almost a week.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You watched it.
Ladies, you're both beautiful.
This is bullshit. Why am I the bourgeoisie and he's fucking nothing?
So I finished my CNN articles.
No, you don't. God damn it. You, sir, are no Don Lemon.
Don Lemon isn't the real Don Lemon.
Exactly.
You are no Don Lemon, sir. I'm going to use that as my insult from now on.
Yeah, I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, I know. Technically, when you think about it, calling someone, saying that someone resembles Don Lemon in terms of his journalistic style would be more of an insult.
Yeah, let's be real. The dude's won Worst Journalist of the Year several times in a row.
Well, you, sir, are no Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, but I'm no Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Rich bourgeois piece of shit.
Speaking of rich bourgeois pieces of shit.
Yep.
I have a currently nerdy Patronus.
Yes, currently nerdy Patronus.
Expecto Patronum.
I had to change. I was about to say the SA word, and then I had to stop myself and go right into Patronus instead.
Would have slapped you.
Patronus. I would have kicked your ass.
Yes, exactly.
All right, tell us the story.
So, it's 2011.
Mm. Great year.
The great year during the Obama administration. Mm-hmm.
Good vintage.
Ali and I were still young, happening guys.
What? Just happened. Just... No, whatever that was, that's a big bag of nopes.
Yeah, I did a little dance too.
Whatever
right?
That was.
How old was I in 2011?
Yeah, how old were you in 2011?
We were 25.
So we were 22.
Yeah.
Don't tell people our age. So back when gave you permission to tell people our age.
Back when we were youths.
Euphuses.
You were in your mid-20s.
When we were euphuses.
Yes. So
when I stayed up past 10.
That's right. You know, in Belarus.
Ah.
In the beautiful, beautiful Belarus.
Managers from Belarus.
Solid country.
There is.
Deep connections to Marx.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There was a hunter who decided that he wanted to go fox hunting.
Fox hunting.
Now.
What does the fox say? 2011. Jam, I think.
Nope.
Can't finish the CNN article.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Anyway. So.
Tidbits.
This man comes out to go fox hunting.
Okay.
Finds a fox. Pakow! Shoots him, right? Mm-hmm. Wounds the fox.
Because guns in the Belarus say pakow. They sound like Kit Kats breaking.
No, that was actually me sneezing. That's how I sneeze. Anyway.
Okay, so it's pakow.
He shoots this fox. The fox is wounded. Oh! My neck, right? So this hunter comes up to the fox. Doesn't want to use any more ammunition, apparently. So he tries to butt the fox with the butt of his gun, with his rifle, right?
Trying to bludgeon him.
Yeah. The fox, going into defensive mode, you know, takes on a Muay Thai stance, right?
Okay.
And then starts defending himself.
Ah,
right? So he's like dodging out of the way from this guy trying to hit him with the rifle,
yeah.
Right? Eventually, the fox actually somehow manages to get his paw on the trigger and shoots the dude.
What?
Yeah.
This is a made-up story, isn't it?
No.
Did he injure the man?
It's on the Telegraph.
Did he injure him or kill
he
him?
He actually shot the guy?
So the fox shot the hunter when he tried to butt him with his gun.
Okay, so many questions here. Did the fox shoot the man, or did the man shoot himself in his act of stupidity? Like, did he accidentally make the gun go off?
No, because you have to hold the trigger.
So, if you rustled it, like, maybe...
No, it doesn't do that.
You never know. Have you ever dropped a gun and go, they fire?
Do they?
Sometimes.
I've never dropped a gun.
I haven't either, but I've been told. By those more experienced than I in these matters.
I haven't held a gun many times in my life.
But if you drop a gun, not all guns do this, but some guns will go off.
Like a rifle?
Just, oh, shit!
I haven't. So, I'm now...
This is the real question, is that... What came first? Not the chicken or the egg, but did the fox shoot the man, or did the man shoot the man?
No. Mm. Now, in my mind, I'm picturing Swiper from Dora the Explorer.
Swiper, don't swipe.
Yeah, he's a fox. I'm imagining him.
I've always felt that foxes got a bad rap in society.
Yeah.
They do. They're very sly.
Cunning. I've seen Fantastic Mr. Fox.
You know what they say about a fox, right?
What?
Dog hardware, cat software.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's actually really accurate. Yeah. Accurate. No, foxes are awesome.
Yeah.
I think
they're shooting people now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
fox hunting reversed.
Context.
The thing is though, he escaped.
The man escaped,
right? No. Well, I mean, the guy didn't die.
Oh.
But the fox,
he got shot.
Yeah. The fox was able to kind of scurry away and escape.
Eye for an eye. You shoot me, I shoot you.
That's true.
I feel like that's karmic.
I think that's
justice,
fair. I think there's something fair.
Yeah, it's something fair about that. You're going hunting for a fox. What are you gonna do with this fox? Do people eat fox?
No, fox hunting is a trophy hunt.
It's a trophy hunt.
Well, good. Yeah. You deserve to get
shot.
It's
even worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's nice because the fox didn't have to have a police uniform on or anything to get away.
I think we can collectively agree that this fox is a currently nerdy Patronus. This was a good one.
I think he's one of the ones who
a good
embodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So far,
like
so good.
800 pounds of fajitas, but, yeah, you know. Like,
so far, so good.
Yeah.
All right. This was an interesting podcast. A little crazy.
Yes.
We started off with Papa Jones. It was a very corporate podcast.
Yeah.
Started off with Papa Jones, ended with streaming and Netflix
and
Stranger Things. And we threw in Jeffrey Dahmer in there.
That is true.
For some reason, Jeffrey Dahmer made it.
And food trucks.
And food trucks.
Yeah.
And then, Marx also.
When I have to write the description of this podcast or the title, it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's
going to be fun. So, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, you can find this on the Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on the tweets @currentlynerdy, on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on the Instagram @currentlynerdy. We're on YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So rate, review, and subscribe to us. Por favor. We need 5-star ratings and we need reviews because it helps the algorithms and it makes people want to listen to us more. So do that. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at AliAlomi.com. Or on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. If you're interested in my political ramblings, you can check me out on Twitter. If you do want to see the behind the scenes of what I do as a historian and educator, and Higher Academia. You could check out my Instagram. And of course, you can find me on our sister podcast, which is now out. Season 2, Episode 1 is out. Head on History. Search it on Stitcher Radio or iTunes. Give it a listen, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla. D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you in spite of you fucking trying to ruin everything for us.